Now's the time when I've waited for this for quite some time. I've known this guy since he was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. And I've been coaxing him to share some of his thoughts with us. No, no. Turn me down. No. But I guess I just loved him enough that he decided he didn't want me pestering him anymore. So he agreed. I think everyone here knows this young man is going to share his thoughts with us tonight. And you'll find that he's going to come up here probably with his neck twisted around back. Because I had to really twist him to get him to come up here tonight. But I've loved him so long, and he's doing his very best to represent God on this earth plane, in my opinion. My opinion. And that is our Stan. Our Stan.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming. What a blessing to get to talk. It has been a long time. Millie's been after me, and I always thought I have nothing to say. What do I have to say that anybody wants to hear or hasn't heard? But, you know, I was asking for validation tonight, which is interesting. Many of you knew Roger. He left us the piano. He was my best friend. And my mother, who I was close to, and she passed away, oh my gosh, 32 years ago. I was a baby. And two of the songs we sang tonight, Amazing Grace, was my mother's favorite song. Oh. So that's a little validation. And I Believe was Roger's song. Oh. So I thought, okay, I get it. They're here. But anyway, what I want to talk about a little bit is kind of, how did I get here? You know, we all came from somewhere, or, you know, what's our journey? And when I started writing this down, it was interesting because I found out a lot of our parallels with what Millie shares with her life also applied to mine. I only grew up 35 miles from here in a small little town of Ramona. It was about 2,000 people at the time. It was small. And it was kind of the closest thing you could find to Mayberry. I mean, everybody knew everybody, and everyone knew everything about everybody. As a kid, it was hard to get in trouble because before you got home, your mother knew what you'd been doing. And that was true. But, you know, we had a good life. I didn't know I was missing anything. We had an old Victorian house, and we had 3 to 5 acres, and on that we had horses and ducks and chickens and goats and rabbits and all kinds of stuff, which required chores. Back then, kids did chores. So we did a lot, so we didn't have time to get in trouble. But anyway, it was at that time that I learned my early teachings, and it was when I was first really introduced to God. And God comes in many forms and different things, but his form to me at the time was the First Baptist Church. And that's what we had. We had the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, and I think there was a Pentecostal church, and that was about it. So going to the church, I remember my early days. You know, it was a lot of singing, a lot of hellfire, damnation preaching. I don't remember a whole lot of God work or God in action, or a lot of God's love, as we've learned here. We had to memorize a lot of verses from the Bible, and as kids, we were rewarded with marbles, and so I thought I did okay. I had a big can. Back then, we kept everything in coffee cans. I don't know if anybody remembers coffee cans. These are the ones that you use to keto. Open the, and I had a whole bunch, so that was kind of neat. I was proud of my accomplishments. I could quote anything, you know, but I don't know that I remember it now. But around 12 or 13, I started thinking, you know, reading books and different things, and thought, do I really agree with what they're teaching? It doesn't really make sense to me. And I thought, you know, there's got to be more than this, and they're not teaching really God's love, I didn't think. Here I was only 12 or 13, but I thought I knew what God's love was. So I kind of stepped back, and I didn't really attend church. I did some readings and different things. But when I came to San Diego, I was in college, and several of my friends around the time, there was a new church in town that was really booming and everybody talking about it. It was, I guess you'd call it New Age, but it was uplifting and it was always fun. And I learned about Buddha, Gandhi, different things. But it was the Terry Cole Whitaker Ministries, if anybody ever remembers Terry. I'm still friends with Terry. She doesn't have a church anymore. But she was a minister. It was in the religious science movement, which was the teachings of the Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes. And, you know, I learned a lot and did my path for a long time there. I went on to take practitioner classes and many of the abundance classes and different things. Some worked, some didn't, but, you know, it's kind of neat. But it was around that same time that I was still searching and seeking what? There's more. There's something else out there. And Millie has taught us, at least from our classes, I know that there's truth in all religions. It doesn't matter which one you're going to, that there's something there that you need to learn for your soul's growth. And so I remember that. But it was about that time my friend Roger, who was my best friend, and his friend Nan, I don't know if there's anybody here that remembers Nan. You remember Nan. She lives in Phoenix now, and she's a school teacher. And so we were all good friends and all that. But we were interested in learning more about life and what happens after life. And so we started looking around for little psychics, and we'd do the OB street fair and different things, which was kind of fun here and there. And, you know, seeing what presented itself. Well, the universe must have heard our questions, because be careful what you ask for, because it does give it to you. And someone came up to us out of the clear blue and said, listen, have you ever heard of this woman called Adele Tenning? I bet you all thought I was going to say Millie, didn't you? Well, Adele Tenning was my first introduction. She wrote this book called God's Way of Life, and we have this book in the library if anybody wants to see it. But Adele was a medium, and she was a wonderful lady. She did table tipping, and I don't know if anybody's familiar with that, but she, I believe, used her grandmother's table, if I remember. But she had meetings every Friday night in Mission Valley, and people would come from all over the world to go to this. At this time, a lot of people were sick, as they are today, with cancer, whatever. The early days, it was AIDS, and people didn't know what was going on. But they would come for emotional support. They would come for healings, whatnot. Many claimed healings. And so I remember we were intrigued with this, and we would go there, and she would have the table. It was at the Scottish Rites, and everybody'd get around, and people were selected to sit at the table, and you put your hands on the table. There would be three people and Adele, and she would always open with a prayer, like Millie always does, going to God and asking that he be the clear channel for her, and that the message come through that needs to do it. Well, with table tipping, the table would lift, and she'd have somebody transcribing, because it would tap out A, B, C, D, and, you know, it would stop on the letter. So it took a while to get the message. But it was interesting. I enjoyed it, and it was fascinating. But with her book, back on her book, which is interesting, it was a Foundation for Inner Peace, I believe, was the thing. She would give these books out free to anybody. And so we would always collect tons of books and just give them to everyone we thought that would be interested. And so they were, and they would come to hear Adele. And it was interesting. There's a thing in here on lessons and what you're supposed to be learning your lifetime, if you accept it or whatnot. For me, it was forgiveness. And that's very true for me. Forgiving myself is a hard one. So I am working on that. And I'm working on it in Kimberly has a class. It's the personal growth class. We're on our last week coming up. And mine's been relationships and forgiveness, which is appropriate. So anyway, Adele was, I remember with her that she would, when the table started, you could feel the vibration and the energy, just like in her circles. You could feel it when it hit, and you would know it. And there's pictures in the book that show the energy and the things like that. So to me, it sounds just like Millie's of spiritual development classes. So we went for about a year going to this and listening and watching and sitting at the table. It was really kind of fun and exciting and meeting all the different people from everywhere and trying to see what they had to do. This was always Friday nights from about, 6 to 10, 7 to 10. It was a while. You knew Adele, didn't you? Yeah, you did. And as time passed, I actually became good friends with her. She was just a neat lady, and she lived over on Mississippi Street over by, right now, I guess it's Smart and Final, is over there. And it's funny, because after the sessions, and she'd go home, she had her own aches and pains, and she felt a little tired and grumpy, but during the sessions, she was so energized. So I'd go to her house, and I'd visit her, and I'd do her hair here and there, and talk to her, and I remember the first time I walked into her house, it was filled with flowers, and I thought, this is like a florist, you know. And she would say, oh no, these have been here for weeks and weeks and weeks. It was because the energy was so good. They just, it was amazing. So I used to bring flowers, and her caregiver said, she doesn't really need any more flowers, but she likes lemon meringue pie. So I thought, okay, so I would bake or buy her pies. And so that was kind of neat. I loved that introduction. Well, one night we were over there, Roger and I, and Adele says, you guys are growing spiritually and you need to learn more. She says, have you ever heard of this lady called Millie Landis? And she meets over at campus in Tyler, over in, I guess it's University Heights over there. And she has a little thing called the Wednesday Night Forum. And we thought, no, well, what's it about? She says, well, you have to go. There's healing. And you'll just love Millie. And she says, you just got to go. So I thought, well, okay. I guess this was a Saturday or Sunday. So we decided we're going to go on Wednesday. So we go. And it must have been in the spring or, I don't know, early May, maybe May, I don't remember. Anyway, because I remember it was light outside, so I arrive at campus, and Tyler, who's been there? A lot of us have been there, so you know what it's like. It's kind of neat. It's a Swedenborg church, which was Emanuel Swedenborg, who is also in the spiritualist movement. And so I get there before Roger and Nan, and I'm waiting and walking around trying to see what's what. I hadn't gone in yet, and all of a sudden there's this little lady on the porch, this beautiful smile. Back then she didn't have gray hair, but she took my hand. I should have brought pictures. But so she immediately comes up, hi, how are you? Took my hand. Millie has a line that she always says, I love you, Millie. I love you. Everyone says I love you, but she always says I loved you first. And she did. So she took my hand, and you know how she does. She takes your hand, and she's holding it, and she's doing little things. And she says, for me, some of you have heard this, but I'm going to tell it again anyway. She said, I've got a lady here. She couldn't have been more than 5 feet, and I'm seeing some auburn red hair. I don't know if you remember this. And she said, I'm getting the initials, a W and an F, and she sure didn't like the W. And I know you're young, and I was. She said, it feels like your mother's energy, and I don't think your mother's in spirit. And I was just taken back, and I said, well, my mother is in spirit. She passed 3 years ago. And my mother was 5 foot. She had auburn hair. She was supposed to be a boy, so the only name they had picked out was William. So they called her Willie, which she hated. And her middle name was Faye, so she went by Faye, which was her, I guess, her mother's maiden name, or not maiden, middle name. And she had lost her mother at 3, so she didn't really know her mother. And Millie also had said, I see her twirling a strand of pearls. And I thought, well, when I was in Tokyo years before, I had bought her a strand of Mikimoto pearls. And I just thought, how could this person know this? I was just so fascinated. Well, Roger and Nan came, and it was interesting, and we enjoyed the evening, and we kept coming back and coming back. And back then we had Ruthie that played the piano. We all knew Ruthie, which was great. Loved Ruthie. She was really good. I met a lot of people, and Millie, of course, told us about her classes. Back then it was Tuesday afternoon, Monday, Escondido. It was Monday, Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, and Thursday evening, which were her spiritual development classes. So we all came to Tuesday night, which I've always been in. Had a lot of lessons. A lot of people came and went, including Roger. And a lot of friends. So a lot of healing. And, I have to say, that's been probably close to 30 years. That's been a long time. That was about 1986. I guess it was 30 years. Long time ago. So my path is taking me a little longer to get to places than others, but who's counting? Anyway, it was kind of neat. So from the Wednesday night forum, of course, we started coming to the Sunday church, and we were also at that time, I believe, meeting in the Scottish Rite, wasn't it, back then? They'd sold the building. So got to, get involved in that. It wasn't until 91, I think it was, that we bought the building here. So it was kind of interesting, my path. But that's a little bit of my history on how I came to the church. And the topic I was going to talk about just for a quick little second tonight is, has anybody ever considered a spiritual happy hour? Doesn't that sound like fun? People think, well, that is. Well, what we're doing right now takes about an hour. It's a spiritual happy hour. But I came across this term a while back, and I thought, it's kind of fun. I like that. I'd never considered a spiritual happy hour, and people go, what's the concept? Well, happy hours are 4 to 6, 6 to 9, whatever, where you go have a drink, half price, have munchies, whatever, always at that time. And you thought, but a spiritual happy hour? I don't know about that. What do you mean, bring the Bible and let's have some wine? Well, we could. Why not? We're two or more gathered, but we know that alcohol does change your vibration and may not get the interpretation you were looking for. So I don't think that's quite what they're talking about. But I think of the times that what a spiritual happy hour does is something that's going to make your spirit soar and refresh you and make you feel happy and fill you with joy and peace and love. In the secular happy hour, we know that it's the artificial stimulants. They're all around us, drugs and alcohol today. And that's people trying to change their mood or cover up their feelings or whatever. It allows you to forget your less than happy circumstances. But in a spiritual happy hour, you don't need anything artificial to change your mood or any of the outside situation because, that's not what really makes you happy. It has nothing to do with that if it doesn't fill you with joy and love. Spirit comes from the inside. It's knowing who you're connected to and that feeling of love and joy. So when it comes to things that make you happy at a spiritual happy hour, what could that be? We set time to go to the gym in the morning. You set time for lunch. You set time for friends. You set time for dinner. Well, do you set time for God? You could. Every morning. And you know what? You don't even have to go anywhere. Everybody look around and give somebody a smile. That's doing God work. It's that easy, isn't it? Really is. But a lot of times it can be, you could read the Bible, read other inspirational readings that help you, read it with friends, join groups that do that. For me, it could be an outdoor setting, walking on the beach or, the park or anywhere. That tends to transport me to time and to another space. You could share a meal with somebody. That happens every Tuesday, Wednesday, probably Thursday. I know Millie does it, Leslie does it, Ruth joins sometime. Once in a blue moon, I get to join. But that's all doing God work, and that's a spiritual side of being happy. And what happens when you do that, You know that you're just not a tiny speck in the universe anymore of dust, but you feel loved, you feel grateful, you feel gratitude. There's a lot of peace that flows through you and happiness. And when you're happy, you do happy things. And when you're doing your God work, it's not that hard. It's just loving yourself and loving others. So there's a little little verse that I thought was kind of neat here. It's from Isaiah 55:12. It says, "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." So when's the last time you thought you're going to have a spiritual happy hour? Or when do you want to have one? You know, it's got to be 5 o'clock somewhere. Thank you all for this time.